Can I drag the, can I change the configuration of the screens?
I don't know.
Like
You
I
might be
would, it
able
would
to.
make sense for me to be at the bottom of my own screen and then
You
you guys at
can
the top.
click on in the upper right-hand corner, there's gallery view, and you can switch it up so that you can see all three of us at the same time. Or speaker view, at which point whoever's talking is
Yeah.
going to be viewed.
Right. I like the gallery view, but I would like you guys to be on the top.
Well, that's speaker view. That's
No,
what happens.
speaker view is just the whoever's talking, I see, and then it cuts back and forth.
Yeah, but you should have the thumbnails of the three of us at the top above the main window where there's
Okay.
the person speaking.
I was in full screen. See, I don't want that. I want gallery view, but I want me at the bottom. Come on, Zoom, do better for free.
Wow, this is really
But
an
no, I'm
important
paying for
sticking
this.
point. Yeah, this is
I'm
a
He is paying for this. That's
You
true.
should. I have a Zoom Pro account, so
But
this is.
you're doing what I mean, I have the thumbnails at the top and then the big talker on the bottom.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you can do what you like. I like to be able to see both of you as it's I don't need it to cut for me. I'm good.
I feel taken advantage of.
Yeah, I'll just
I
look
feel
back
like
and
I'm being
forth.
used and abused
Yeah.
here.
Yeah. Okay. Hello and welcome to episode 497 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
And joining us once again is
Don. Where am I, Alan?
I have you down here as Timmins on your Wikipedia page.
I've been to Timmins.
Okay.
Lovely people.
The
everybody
loveliest
I've kn-
people. And that's why I picked Timmins.
The people that I've known from Timmins tend to drink heavily. I'm not saying that of the entirety of the population, but they're good old Canadian folk up there.
Should we go back to talking about the Civil War? That might be less controversial than what you just said. Who's from Timmins, Adam? Do you know?
Yeah, a lot of our listenership.
I hope so. My ex-girlfriend's from Timmins.
Okay.
Shania Twain, you know her. Timmins, Ontario.
Is she really?
I think that's true. I didn't actually Wikipedia it, but I'm 99% sure she's from Timmins.
Wow. I am from Barrie, Ontario, for the record. I am not from Timmins.
Okay. Yeah.
Cleared that up.
There you go. Take that, Timmins.
Not home to Don Komarechka.
If you need a map to find your way around Ontario, do they still sell maps? If they do, I bet you can buy one on Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out. All right, that's out of the way. So what's going on, Don? It's been a long time since you've been on the proper show, not just an insert guest.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we can get the whole proper show thing sorted out now. And so what's going on? Well, we are in the proverbial end times right now. So
I don't think that's true.
No, I don't
we
either.
Aren't.
I'm just I'm being hyperbolic. But, you know, we're kind of locked down. And, you know, my daughter can technically go back to daycare, but we're not re-enrolling her. We're going to see what happens in the fall. And I mentioned that because I'm now the best friend to a four-year-old and her father. And so it's a really difficult line to walk between, you know, playing in the kiddie pool in the backyard and picking flowers and petting caterpillars and making paper airplanes. And then when she does something disastrous or against our best wishes, we cannot be that friend anymore. And we have to be a parent that delivers consequences. So it's a really tricky dynamic to properly establish.
You just described all parenting. That you just,
I see during the lockdown, I just introduced my six-year-old son to beer and it's all sorted itself out.
Yeah. Now he's moving to Timmins.
Yeah, now he's. I taught him to drive, so he can be my designated driver when this all ends. Yeah, I hear you. It is definitely weird times. Adam and I talk about it every week, and I don't know. Things seem to be a little bit relaxing here in Germany. Things are, they've relaxed. They keep slowly relaxing things and opening up. And so far, nothing's gone crazy. They've done an excellent job of, I guess, contact tracing. I went to a, I met a buddy at a restaurant a couple days ago for the first time. First time I've been to town. When we talked last week, Adam, I hadn't even been into the old town in like months. So I went and met him there. We sat outside, of course, on the patio. But yeah, they have you fill out your name and contact info and where you, what time you're there, how long you're there for. And if anybody you know, comes down with this, they're obligated to phone the restaurant, and that restaurant gets in touch with everybody who was there and just lets them know, hey, you had someone test positive, so you want to be on the lookout.
Responsible and accountable behavior. That's wonderful.
It is. Yeah.
Now, I'm not going out to restaurants right now. We still have cases, community spread in the area. And you know, to be honest, my wife and I would rarely go out to restaurants just for fun or, you know, to meet with friends or whatever else. But when we did, we had this strange tradition where we would always buy, and I don't know if this is a Canadian thing, I don't know if it's anywhere else, but we would buy an order of deep fried pickle spears. And okay. They're breaded pickle spears, and they're delicious. And I've never seen them anywhere else except for the restaurants. And so I finally tracked some down. They only sell them to restaurants from restaurant supply companies. So I claimed to be a restaurant, and they asked for my company name, and I'm a numbered corporation technically for my business. And I just gave them that number. And I was able to buy 16 pounds of, frozen breaded pickles to deep fry. So that we're making set. That experience at home.
Yeah.
We are all set.
You did just admit to a felony on a international podcast.
No, they asked for my company name. They didn't ask if I was a restaurant or not. And I gave them my company name of 1934925 Ontario Inc. And
there's
that's
a SWAT
that's
team
out there.
In Timmins right now. That's what's happening. Knocking on doors. Like the end scene of Silence of the Lambs. We're in the wrong town. Spoiler alert, by the way.
Okay.
I have had.
How are the pickles?
Spears.
Wait. How are the ones?
We don't have Adam. Have you not?
Oh,
had
they
them
they
before?
Are the same as the restaurant. They are exactly the same. Which
what you,
also
what do you cook them in?
I have a deep fryer.
Of course you
doesn't
do.
Doesn't everybody?
When Timmins?
No. Yeah.
Now here's the real trick. You don't deep fry it in vegetable or canola oil.
Right.
You deep fry it in tallow, which is rendered beef fat.
Right.
And it's all the much more delicious.
And shockingly, and I'm not even joking here, evidently way more healthy than canola oil.
Because you see like all the grain fed beef ads or whatever, you know, apparently that's more healthy. But all of that is like the omega-3 fatty acids. That's in the fat, right? It's not in the meat per se, it's in the fat. And so if you want to have a really healthy deep fry, which is an oxymoron, but right. as healthy as you can really get, then avoid the vegetable oils and go for the beef fat. And it's a mess to clean up, but it is worth it.
Did I have?
Hey, is this a photography podcast?
Not yeah. yet. We're like half an hour.
It's always like this. Yeah, we talk photography about Midway.
Hey, no, as I do tell people, because I do get the occasional comment of, hey, why don't you just skip to the photography? I just tell people, why don't you just Google stuff, and then it'll tell you about photography. So
there you go.
Just go ahead. It's all out there for you. But what about homemade pickle spears? You don't. Where are you going to get that?
Not
right here. So, but Adam,
wait.
Yeah.
What is the magic about the fact that they've already breaded them? Like, I don't understand why you couldn't just take pickles.
Yeah, why can't you make your own?
Yeah. We tried and we failed miserably.
Okay.
And then I looked at the ingredient list, and there's like all sorts of weird stuff I don't understand. And so there's some industrial process involved in caking this breading onto the pickles in like this thin, crispy layer.
Uh-huh.
And we've gone to some restaurants that make their own. It's like this cushiony, bread, like literally bread around the pickles, and it just doesn't have the same appeal. And I know it's homemade and I know it's good, but for some reason, from McCain Foods, the Anchor sub brand within that, they sell these to restaurants, and I'm putting it out there.
New sponsor.
I don't care how heavily processed these things are. That's the ones you want.
Delightful.
And you gotta buy 16 pounds of it.
Right.
You got to pretend to be a restaurant, but then once you get it, you are golden.
Now, how many pounds do you make in one serving for the family? Half a pound?
That's because 8 pounds.
No, I think it's got to be half, about half a pound, I would guess.
It depends, you know, 4 or 5 little spears a person. Okay. So I don't know how much that amounts to in weight. Next time I'll take out my postage scale and weigh them for you, Alan, and I'll get back to you with that exact measurement.
You can ballpark
it. Let's talk dipping sauce. Is there a dipping sauce?
There is. Okay. And sometimes Chipotle, it's mayonnaise. Chipotle sauce. Yes, yep. Chipotle. Exactly. And sometimes I've made my own hot sauce in the last little while, which is a mix of Scotch bonnet peppers, habanero peppers, Thai chili peppers, and to mellow things out, jalapeno peppers.
Nice. All grown in your garden.
Unfortunately, I don't want to grow those hot peppers with a 4-year-old that goes and eats everything because that's going to be disastrous.
Just the one time.
And then you mix in some like a half a cup of black pepper, and then you boil it all, and then you throw it in a blender, and then you throw it back in the pot to let it all simmer, and then you bottle that up, and it is the most delicious thing ever. And that we have with the Chipotle mayo.
Go sit by my mailbox and wait till mine gets here. That sounds excellent. Okay, we're done with deep fried pickle Spears. Let's talk Britney Spears. What's she been up to?
I don't know.
Okay. I like it. I just like that. That was a good transition.
Thanks, buddy. Awesome. By the way, Don, you weren't here last week. Adam and I solved the mask problem, by the way. We solved it. Everybody's good. And you think I'm kidding, Adam. I don't know who was listening, but there's been a huge, last week after we recorded, there was a huge shift in attitudes down south about maybe we should wear masks, right? So that was Adam and I solved it.
And thank you for your service.
Oh, happy to do so. No, Canada had already taken care of it. Germany had already taken care of it. And I was just like, hey, listen, you know, we could, if you wear a mask, you might have NFL football. You never know. So this week, it turns out racism was solved for us. I didn't know if you saw this.
Enlighten me.
Canon solved it.
Oh, they got rid of the master and slave monikers on their flashes.
They did. Big announcement. Big announcement. We are no longer going to use master and slave. I don't know who was still using master and slave physically, like in terms of, like, most people are using some other kind of triggers anyways. What's your thoughts? What's your thoughts on them ending that nomenclature?
What did they change it to?
I don't know.
Transmitter Fuji. And receiver works just fine. I mean, sure. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm sure that there are more woke terms that could be used. But I mean, this goes back to a lot of electronics. If you remember computer hard drives, back when you had those IDE ribbon cables, mm-hmm. you can put two of them on the same cable, mm-hmm. And you would have to adjust the pins,
the little plastic
on
dongle.
The back. Yeah, the little plastic pinouts on the back mm-hmm. of the hard drive, one would have to be the master and one would have to be the slave. That was just the words that they had decided on using. And I don't know how far back that goes, but probably to the same vintage as flash control methodologies.
What's your thoughts on Canon changing that?
Well, yeah, okay. It was 1962 when Crayola changed the name of their flesh-colored crayon to peach. So 1962, that mm-hmm. stuff was happening because people were outraged. And I don't know, maybe people just didn't think to be outraged. Maybe this whole transition of changing everything that could possibly be racist in our society is now moving towards a much more neutral stance, which I agree with. But it shouldn't have taken that big of a push for Canon to make that change right now. I'm glad it's happened. But, you know, the fact that it's happening now when the pressure is applied means that the pressure works. And I guess keep the pressure on to give equality to all races, because, you know, there is a legacy that we have in North America. I'm not just talking about the Black Lives Matter. That's awful. But also the indigenous people of North America, there was like I heard rumors, and I don't know if it's true, of like some of the colonialists coming over and like giving smallpox laced blankets to all of the, you know, the native tribes in distant areas as a form of genocide. Mm. And so there's a lot of evil that happened from our ancestors. And we're not responsible for it, but we cannot reflect that in our lives today. And so we've got to do better. We've got to not forget it, but not embrace it and still use those terms today. I don't think that's allowed.
See, I think it was kind of all kind of ridiculous, actually, them changing the name. I'm happy for it to not be called that. I literally don't care what it's called. I'm glad it's not that. I'm all for it being not called that. I would have been much more appreciative had they just done it quietly and not said anything.
Yeah.
Until a geek like Don here discovers it and tells everybody for them. And they would have won.
That's not what they did. They actually made a big announcement.
Yes, they made a giant announcement. Yeah. Hey, everybody, look at us. We solved it. Now, it's obviously I'm being tongue-in-cheek because that does not solve the current situation that we're in. It is one small little pebble in the pond of not perpetuating it. I get it. I'm up for it. Just stop signaling. Just let someone discover it.
Totally.
And if you had discovered it, even if they leaked it to you and said, hey, we're going to give you a free camera, why don't you just tell everybody for us? That would have been awesome. Look what Don noticed. You know, they would have won. So fumbleia there, Canon. So anyway, we'll solve multiculturalism in general next week, Adam.
Yeah, I've watched half of Hamilton, so I'm pretty woke.
Which half?
The first half.
Smart, smart. and I assume you mean Hamilton, Ontario.
No.
Steel Cats. I mean, what is it? Tie Cats.
Very interesting town to people watch in, let me tell you.
Yeah. It's like Timmins, except the worst.
Yeah, the worst part of Timmins, all bundled up and bigger.
What's going on with you, Adam?
Not a ton new. We started running some strength and conditioning programming this past week, myself and another physio for baseball stuff. So small groups and kids out on the field and everybody really happy. Tons of protocol and policies to go with it, but still you get the kids out with with social distancing and their friends having some fun. So did that last week. We're do 4 weeks of that. And there's similar baseball programming starting this week, like for small teams, practices, but again, all very different, but still a massive step forward. So I'm excited. Hockey starting this weekend as well. Again, with adaptations, small teams, but
like
we're going to
play. Your son's hockey?
Yeah, we're going to play like a special spring league 4-on-4. Has to be done at private facilities because the public rinks aren't doing this, but private rinks who need to make ends meet are putting policies in place so that they can play kind of a modified game 4-on-4. You get, nine players a team, four kids on the ice at a time, so just two shifts, a goalie, one parent per player to come to the rink. And and our numbers here, Don, you've probably followed the stats in BC anyways, are very, very good. And you guys aren't probably that far behind. I think things are moving in the right direction for you.
At least right now. I mean, you look at the numbers and the incubation period for this particular virus is between 10 and 14 days, yeah, from what I gather. And so we're still waiting to see as we record this on the 8th of July, if the 1st of July, Canada Day, had a surge, which we'll know within the next week.
Right.
But the trend has been down. And I think that's just totally due to everybody just taking the necessary precautions. And I see more people wearing masks outside now. Yeah. And it's a much more pleasant experience. In fact, I think it's pushing. At first, when I went out, I was like the only person wearing a mask. You know, we hunkered down for 2 weeks and then I needed groceries and I went out and I bought, and I was wearing an N95 mask that I had bought to spray pesticides in the backyard because I didn't really feel like breathing in copper.
The neighbors, however.
I had those masks and I wore one and everybody was looking at me like, you're strange. You know, this isn't the big deal. And now everybody wearing a mask is like glaring at those that aren't. It's like, you jerk.
Wait, can you go in a grocery store without one?
In certain parts of Ontario, it's kind of based on cities or regions. You are required to, but it's not in every region. It's decided on by, I guess, the mayors and the city councils.
Oh, because here in Germany, I don't know what region to region, but you do not go in without a mask. The end. That's that.
And I have great respect for businesses that offer a box of plastic disposable gloves at the entrance to their store. And I'll wear them. I mean, I normally wouldn't because gloves don't really do a whole lot. I mean, for protecting yourself. But I will buy more for those people from those people if they're saying, hey, be extra protective of things around you.
And plus, you can do the occasional prostate check. So it works out nicely.
Exactly.
At the door on their way out.
Yeah. Okay. So now are your kids taking all the protocols? Like do they have to wear masks like to and from or playing or like baseball and whatnot or no?
No. So they all have to come, like they essentially have like an entrance point with a parent. So everyone has their hand sanitizing done even out like before they come to the field. And then there's set break times where everyone, like there's no dugouts. So kids all bring a chair if they're going to take a break. And so they have like markers on the side of the fences that are basically like, you know, separated by 10, 15 feet. So they would put their stuff there, their chair there, their water there. And then, yeah, most of the drills are marked by cones where they stand. Like it's a lot of prep work and setup, but it's they're allowed to go out there. They touch the balls. The balls are sanitized as well before, after. They take breaks. And so everything is done in I would say, a safe practice as is reasonable to be doing anything, unless you're going to stop every 4.5 seconds and just hose them down. But no, I think kids are happy. Parents are happy for kids to be out. And no matter what, there is always going to be an inherent risk if you want to participate. So the numbers are obviously not as large of everybody coming back. I'd say it's probably maybe a third of the kids that might have played spring baseball, but it's also summertime where a lot of people go away. So I think a lot of people miss it and are happy to be back. Mm-hmm. And we've heard nothing but positive messages from parents in terms of how safe we're being, the protocols that are in place.
I'd be more concerned with the parents congregating inside a hockey rink than I would with anything playing baseball.
And that's why the hockey, because we haven't done it yet. It's coming up this weekend. It's one parent per kid. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's no congregating of any sort. You have, I think, 10 minutes to be out of the rink. So from the time they're off the ice, it's basically get your stuff off and get out of here. Like,
okay, and do the parents stick around for the games or you have to go in the parking lot?
You're allowed one parent to be inside the rink to watch. And I think they have it again. They have markers. Like there's no like, hey, go sit in the bleachers. It's they have markers so that everybody is trying to do their part. If you want to participate, don't wreck it for everybody else.
Now, I'm not a epidemiologist. I've established that. But from what I can tell, just logically, the mere fact that many of the breakouts, and we had one here a couple of weeks ago, are at meat packing plants that are basically cold. They're ice rinks. And so, I mean, obviously they're in close quarters, but there also is something going on with the air and the cold and whatnot. I would suggest that parents should wear a mask in the stands in the rink.
Absolutely.
But don't they preserve viruses in like virology labs around the world by freezing them? Like, isn't cold one of the things that make it last longer?
Why are they preserving them? We want to get rid of them.
To study them. I mean, if I remember correctly, was it a decade or two ago, there was a small outbreak of smallpox somewhere in Eastern Europe because a lab there didn't properly contain it. And it was solved and buttoned up and all that. But that's because smallpox still exists. It's studied by the CDC for various reasons at various times and other organizations around the world as well.
And by the way, just before we move on, because we'll move on off of this topic, this whole thing that's happening right now is the plot of Mission Impossible 2. So I suggest everyone go watch that again. It's a terrible movie. John Woo really fumbled that one. But that is the entire plot of a virus.
So did they all die in the end?
You know, Tom Cruise is still alive, right?
Right.
So there you go. There you have it. So we're going to look to Ethan Hunt to sort this out for us. All right. Update on the Canon Switch debate in my own head that I talked about last week. I think we'll skip it again, maybe talk next week, because short news short version is that I've kind of been thinking of switching, Don, and it was I'm looking at the Fuji. However, there's going to be big news tomorrow as we record this. The R5 is going to be announced. Probably very expensive, but could be exactly the camera of my dreams. We'll find out.
Well, and I'm sure not many of your clients are asking for 8K video, but as a future-proofing mechanism, if they do 5 years from now and you buy the R5, you have that ability to shoot it with that camera.
And potentially the R6, which is sounds like the little brother of that R5, might be more camera than I need anyways at a much lower price. So we'll find out tomorrow, and I'll make a better, more informed decision maybe next week.
All right,
woodwork update. Forgot to post a photo of the end table from a couple of weeks ago, so there it is. We already talked about it. And I made my daughter had a birthday, and so you know how you do the grab bags with the kids?
Yep.
And they basically get like a whole bag full of cheap plastic crap that they throw out. And I hate doing that. So I decided to make them little picture frame, post-it note holder. So I don't know what you want to call that. You see that there? The photo board, I've called it.
Yep.
So you can clip your photos on there. You can clip notes on there. So all the girls that came to the party, all 8 of them, all went home with one of those. And I also wanted to see if I could do shabby chic, that distressed look, and so that's why they got him looking like that.
There you go. Right. You are doing wonderful work with all of your woodworking tools, by the way.
Well, thank you. But one note on this one here, this was version 2. Version 1 was the board was going to be magnetic, and my wife had bought some magnetic paint. I don't know if you've heard of this, Adam.
Magnetic paint.
It's like an undercoat. You paint the wall with this magnetic paint, you paint over it, and bam, you have a secret magnetic wall for the kids.
Nice. I have heard of it. Yeah.
I've never seen it. I don't want that for the kids. I want that for me now.
No, you don't. Here's the thing. It's a complete scam. It does not work. I ended up painting 10 of them, and you have to do so many coats. I ended up doing, I can't even tell you how many coats I had to do just to get it to be somewhat magnetic. And that was me taking a rare earth neodymium. How do you say it, Don?
Neodymium? Is that what it is?
Something like that. One of those super strong magnets. And it would.
Why didn't you ask me?
Okay, what is it called?
I don't know.
Okay. So you go and you hold it. You could hold it, and it would basically it would sit on there for a millisecond before just falling. Even that magnet would not hold. So if your wife ever comes home with magnetic paint, just tell her no. Forget it. Don't waste
it. It is a neodymium magnet. Neodymium.
Yeah. I should have made the thing out of the magnet, and then that would have worked out quite well. So magnetic paint, dead on the vine.
What about magnetic drywall?
That'd be awesome. You could just put a metal plate under there, I suppose. But the idea is that you would paint, like what they tell you is you paint it with the magnetic paint, and then you paint over it with the chalkboard paint, and now your wall is a magnetic chalkboard, and what could be better than that? Answer, nothing. Okay. However, it's just not going to happen. So there's that. All right, reminder, monthly challenge for July is summer. But I've been told it's not summer in Australia by one of our Australian listeners. So, sorry, I guess.
So winter.
Yeah, enjoy the sullen darkness of winter.
Yeah. So, but I said be creative. Or if you can get a photo of a funnel web spider, you just win automatically. So do that. You don't want, those are poisonous. Just don't stay away from those. However, and they're scary. If you get a chance, Google funnel web spider, Sydney, Australia, and you'll pee a little bit. It's not good. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. And even better, do both of those and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram. And we'll talk about that at the end of the month. Anybody shoot anything interesting? Don, you're the guest. What'd you shoot?
I have barely picked up my camera.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, well, the challenge for me is that, you know, if I want to photograph something, I usually, when I get into a photo project, it requires a certain headspace. You know, you've got to have a dedicated amount of time for 3, 4, 5 hours to fully flesh out a concept, to see exactly how it's going to evolve and reiterate and think about all the possible avenues that you can explore, where every 15 minutes now, aside from when my wife knows that I'm recording and she's wrangling the 4-year-old upstairs, there's constant visits of showing me her latest drawing, which, you know, she's an artist. There's art happening all the time, every 15 minutes, and I keep getting it delivered to me.
That looks like a Matisse, yes.
Yeah, I did actually test, Venus Optics sent me a copy of an upcoming lens that they're working on for the Micro Four Thirds platform, the 50 millimeter, F2.8 macro lens, which gets to a 2:1 magnification, which compared to a full frame camera would be a 4:1 magnification lens that also has infinity focus, which was very intriguing to me. And it performed very admirably, very little chromatic aberration. It was just one, I tested it with a bunch of water droplet subjects and some of the ultraviolet fluorescence work that I've been doing. I haven't really published these images on social media yet, although I have put them in a few presentations. And I was blown away by the lens. It's not perfect. It has pincushion distortion. If you were to actually measure, you know, straight lines, they do bend. But for a lot of macro subjects, that doesn't really matter. You're not doing architecture with this lens. So I tested that out and I had some fun with that. And you gave a challenge around the word morning as a subject, which forced me to go out this morning and pick up my camera.
Hey,
and,
me too. Adam too, I bet.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Adam, you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, I literally took one photo and it was the challenge photo. Okay. So
mine, I shot my daughter insisted on getting some new sunglasses and she wanted those sort of girly aviator versions there. So I snapped a photo, but the what's nice about this photo is that my 5D Classic still works. Haven't used it in 6 months, still works.
Why would you take that camera for a spin rather than your daily driver?
I wish this was my daily driver. I love this camera. I am mad at the Mark III for their autofocus. I got mine fixed and it works again. My hit rate on the 5D Classic is around 100%, plus or minus 5%. The Mark III, honestly, it's at like 80-85%. I hate it.
Well, hard to imagine 105% accuracy there, Alan. But yeah. I understand what you're saying. And I guess it's part of the advances of technology. They want to build in scene and subject recognition and try to train the camera to see where a subject is going to go. That's more the case with mirrorless cameras these days than it was in the traditional phase detect autofocus, but they were still doing it then. And maybe just simple is better.
Occam's razor, man. Live my life that way.
Yeah.
So I do like the Classic, and I was having some issues with it. It was kind of, I guess there's some electronic issues, but they seem to have resolved themselves for now. Potentially not reliable. I don't know. But that camera coupled with the 85 F1.8 is just an amazing, Adam shoots with that all the time as well. We both love that camera. And I'm going to keep shooting with it till it burns out. All right. Photo challenge is morning. So let's have a look at Dawn's first. We have two photos here. Why do we have two?
Well, I was experimenting. So I was recently, and I've done this for a while with some sort of makeshift lenses that performed well for this behavior, but I ended up with a proper lens thanks to somebody that was selling one much below the original retail price. And this lens was originally called the UV Nikkor 105mm f2.8 macro lens. It's since been rebranded under a Nikon subsidiary called the Rayfact. And they make science-y equipment stuff. And so I've got the newer version of the UV Nikkor lens, which For those that don't know, a regular glass does not transmit ultraviolet light very well, but quartz does. And so I have a camera that's modified to detect infrared and ultraviolet light. It's a full spectrum modification. Now I have a lens that allows me to shoot or to transmit ultraviolet light all the way through, and then filters on the front of that that block all visible light and only allow ultraviolet light to pass through. And so this is a very expensive contraption, and it lets me see things that you can't normally see with your own eyes. Flowers, for example, they have patterns in them. Not all of them, but some will have patterns that are recognizable by insects and other pollinators because they can see into the ultraviolet spectrum. And flowers have adapted to reflect ultraviolet light in different ways. And so I photographed a lily in my front yard this morning. And I did so with ultraviolet reflectance, which is the direct capture of ultraviolet light. I've been known for a lot of my work to do ultraviolet fluorescence, which is something else entirely different, much easier to do, but it's different. And I was just enamored by the patterns that I was finding in lilies. Some would have a big, deep, dark center. Some would have a brighter center, all based on the fact that these were just white or solid colored flowers in the garden. But there was some really interesting patterns that came out when you photograph them in light that we can't see with our own eyes. And so that's where my my morning shot came in. So there you see a lily in my front yard with patterns that you couldn't have ever seen on your own.
I don't want to show mine now.
Okay. I like it. Well, looks cool.
It's nerdy. It's not my best image. It's
now, so the accompanying one though, is that from a different lens, different camera?
So I put different filters on the camera, one that blocks ultraviolet and infrared and just lets the visible light through.
Okay.
So you see the one ordinary looking flower. That's what we see with our own eyes. Mm-hmm. And then the weird looking one is just ultraviolet light. Now, insects, of course, don't just see ultraviolet. They see visible and everything else. So it's a combination of the two. And you don't really know what triggers them to go after those ultraviolet signals. But still, it's fun to discover them and photograph those patterns. It's tricky because it's so expensive to do, and mm-hmm. so many flowers don't offer anything of use.
Like clover,
and so I might
evidently.
Have like maybe four or five images in my portfolio that are done this way, because it's such a tiny niche. But hey, it's one worth exploring. And thank you for forcing me to go out today and do that.
All right, Adam. Let's have a look at yours. Now, this is photo, infrared.
This is a riddle wrapped in an enigma.
It is. Oh, I see it too.
This was for you, just for you, your eyes only.
You know what's funny is there was a moment this morning when I was going to shoot mine that I almost shot a cup of coffee, because guess what I do in the morning?
Drink coffee.
Yeah, same as you. So I did. I really was figuring out, like, how can I do a cup of coffee that's interesting. I actually like this because I like the whatever table you're on here. What is that?
That's why it's a dining room table. I pushed it over to the window, and then I used the blinds to kind of break up the morning light coming through into our living room. But I did the wood grain. I thought you'd like that. So I specifically was like, all right, I'm pulling out the wood grain just for Al, but really it's about the Schwartzes and the apostrophe S that I thought you would enjoy the throwback. Plus, one of my favorite environmental shots was a photo that I took of this. You can see on the left side of the mug, you know, that's the deli in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And I have a photo of this deli, the actual outside of this deli in our kitchen that I just like so much in black and white. So
Did you buy the mug there?
Yeah, I bought the mug there. And I took this mug both ways. On the other side's the exact same image, but in French. And I was like, do I put the world famous smoked meat in French, or do I put it in English? And I went with the English because I pretty much thought that we don't have many listeners from the Quebecois.
So how is it? Fameux Le Monde?
What, the world famous smoked meat?
How do you say world famous in French?
I'm not sure. I'm not holding the cup with me.
Le Monde, I know, is world.
I think it's Fameux Le Monde.
And there's like a Viand.
Rauch? No, not Rauch's German. Oh, no. Fumé.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. What you call trilingual, Adam.
There you go.
So, Don, the joke here that you're not getting is that many years ago, gotta be like 10 years now, I bet. Adam, whose wife is a school teacher, now a vice principal, correct?
Yeah.
Her sister, Adam's sister-in-law, also a school teacher, married to a friend of mine, also a school teacher, now a vice principal. So out of the four of them, 75% school teachers. So Adam put out his Christmas card like 10 years ago and said, Merry Christmas from the Schwartzes, and spelled it like this.
Okay.
Okay.
At this which made point, Alan very, very angry. He lost sleep for weeks.
Well, I don't know if it made me angry. It did.
Still,
it, well, no, part of it still... did make me angry. It, no, I was, first of all, I was gloating and I was like, you know what? I don't really blame you, Adam, because you're not a teacher. And so it is difficult. It's like, how do you pluralize Schwartz's? Well, you add an ES, but that doesn't sound, that doesn't seem intuitive, really. And so I was like, okay, I pointed out, I was more furious that his wife, who I knew she checked with her sister and brother-in-law, so three teachers signed off on it. That's what made me lose sleep at night, because they're teaching your kids. Okay?
Yeah, well, English is such a fluid language. We adapt everything.
I mean, not that fluid.
Schwartz is not an English word, right? It comes from other languages. German, I recognize, but who knows if it came from somewhere else before that. But
it's a version, because in German there's no T. It's Schwarz, and that means black, but there's no T.
Right.
So this is a different spelling.
Right. So English adapts everything. Mm-hmm. And I got some fire when I did a video for DP Review TV a while back on Boca, and I pronounced it Boca. Bouquet. However you want. But okay, English is very fluid when we adapt words from other languages.
Sure.
A great example would be from French. The word for bouquet is we adapt the French pronunciation, but that's not true of every language, because my wife speaks Bulgarian as her first language, and they took the French word, but they call it bouquet. It's a literal translation of that. Whenever a word goes from one language to another, mm-hmm. the rules of the original language no longer apply, and the rules of the new language must be adapted, and oftentimes new rules are created in the process. I mean, okay, just so look at Shakespeare.
It should be Schwartzen then.
It could be. Yeah, you could make it anything that you want. Again, in Eastern Europe, a lot of Cyrillic languages will change to pluralize something, the last letter from whatever it is, to an I. And this even applies to last names. So you would add an E sound, like a hard E sound, to the end of the word. Every language is different.
Latin does that.
Especially because English is an amalgamation of all of these different languages at once. You have all of these rules that they could apply equally. And if you are trying to stay up at night to figure out why you want one rule above all of the other 20 that could possibly apply in this scenario to work, mm-hmm. well, you're stuck in exactly that year when that might be applicable, because 10 years from now or 10 years ago, the rules would have been different. The language is fluid, and just live with that, Alan.
No, we still make a distinction.
Send a letter to Schwartz's Deli. Tell them.
No, they did it right. But they've done it right.
You, under your theory, I thought this would be an ES situation.
No, they're not talking about more than one Schwartz. They're talking about this is whose deli is this? This is Schwartz's Deli. He's done it correctly. This is an example of possessive.
But what if it's the entire family of Schwartzes?
And then in theory, they should go with the apostrophe should go from behind.
I don't think this is one person's deli.
But
family,
but they're talking
deli.
About the Schwartz family, and therefore it is possessive. See, you are pluralizing Schwartzes. But you solved the problem.
Hold on here, because Schwartz could be easily spelled with an S instead of a Z. I mean, that English adapts that kind of things. And if it ends with an S, then you would just put an apostrophe
and
not another S.
Yes.
And so just because it's a Z, we end up with an entirely new fluster cluck of nonsense about the English language.
I mean, you could stop at a stop sign, but you don't have to.
If it's on private property,
just
I call them stop-tional.
Just blow through it. Whatever. I don't know. I see red as green. It's point being is that they're this possessive here. But Adam solved the problem, Don. Here's the end of it. Ever since then, what does your Christmas card say?
I just say from the Schwartz family.
Blammo.
Yeah.
So again, wasn't mad at you.
Schwartz family deli.
Disappointed in your in-laws more so. So there's that. I took a photo. I was going to take one of the coffee, as I said, but ended up getting my kids on their way to school. And so this is my kids this morning, once again, with the 5D Classic and the 85 mil. I actually lit something. I went and lit up an image, and it was terrible. Just awful. So I decided to go with the natural morning light, and this is what we got.
Hard to position somebody in direct sunlight and ask them to open their eyes. So I understand the expression on your daughter's face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your son looks happy as a clam. If clams look happy, I never really understood that phrase, but there you go.
Big smile. I think clams always have that big smile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks like he has a freshly washed shirt. On.
Well, I don't know why my kids. Well, first of all, so yeah, the move here with my daughter, she's very sensitive to light, so I have her close her eyes until it's time, and I tell her 1, 2, 3, open. I snap the photo, but even then, it was so bright that she couldn't open her eyes long enough. She was just squinting and making it terrible, and so I ended up using this. I went upstairs and got her sunglasses for her, and she didn't wear sunglasses in the morning, so it just kind of looked staged. So I went with the before. And just said, all right, that's how it's going to be. What I don't get is that it is July the 8th. It's getting up to be like 29 degrees. I don't know why my kids insist on wearing these jackets to school in the morning.
Yeah. It's going up to 35 today, I think here.
Yeah. So it to be fair, the air is chilly in the morning, but it warms up pretty quick. So I'd like my kids to knock it off and understand that it's July. So anyway, takeaway here is love the 5D Classic. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, I made some great images, Alan, just to piggyback on that, with the original Canon Digital Rebel from, 15, 16 years ago now? 6 megapixel, yep. Chunk of plastic. I bought one on eBay for like $30 with free shipping from Japan, and the shipping probably cost more than what I paid for the camera. Somebody just didn't want to throw it out and just wanted to get rid of it. And I wrote an article about, it's about the photographer, not about the equipment. And I took a bunch of magazine-worthy images with that old camera, and they were published. So I just want to reiterate that, Alan, you're a photographer. You are good at your craft, and it doesn't necessarily matter the camera body and whether you consider it to be vintage or not, mm-hmm. based on how many years old it is. You still take great photos.
What lens did you have on there?
I was using the Canon MPE 65, a kit lens that came with the camera, and a 24 millimeter f1.4 landscape lens to shoot that article. The Canon MPE 65, by the way, debuted in 1990 something. Like it's more than two decades old in terms of the design. So it's even more vintage than the camera itself, and still can do great work.
Adam and I always sort of advocate for having a beater camera, like a camera that you care more about the SD card or CF card inside than you do about the camera itself, because you will take that into the ocean, you'll take it into the lake, you'll take it, like you don't care where it goes, and if you drop it, you end up getting photos that you never ever would have considered if you bring your daily drive, if you bring your, somewhat focusable Mark III, you're not taking that in the ocean with you. Or a swimming pool, or wherever you're going to go, that one you'll get great images with.
I actually have my old iPhone 3G somewhere, and it's useless to me as a phone or a device of any kind. In fact, I should probably recycle it because there's some valuable rare earth metals inside of those electronics. But I want to give it a proper send out. If it's being recycled, it doesn't matter if it functions anymore. So I don't know how to put it in harm's way that could result in an interesting image that will almost surely destroy the device in the process.
Train. Hit by a train.
I still have to recover the photo as part of that process, though. So I've been noodling on that. I haven't figured out what I want to do. Maybe your listeners will come up with something to give a proper send off to those old phones. We all have them, I'm sure.
Right,
you upgrade your
train.
Phone, the old one you keep as a backup in case something happens to the new one. Recycle them, but have some fun with it first, I think.
All right. So the topic this week is checking in with Dawn. We wanted to find out, it's been a long time since you've been on the show. How's lockdown treating you? What have you done? Adam, you know, was still getting paid through the whatever government program or subsidies or what was happening. And has a new job now. His wife, being a teacher, was everything was fine. My wife's a teacher. Obviously, a lot of my work is dried up right now, but it's no problem. My wife is paid well. We save money. You make your income, your entire income, not the household, but yours, through working with clients. What's lockdown looked like for you?
So a couple of things. Number one, productivity is at an all-time low. Especially I'm working on my macro photography book, which should have been done by now, and it's not. So anybody complaining about that, ask my 4-year-old daughter when it's going to be ready. Okay. She's got a better answer than I do. But, in terms of work and what I'm doing, I've had a couple of documentary, film requests and some commissioned work that I've done. I'm under NDA, so I can't discuss exactly who or what it was, but it only took a day and it was pretty lucrative. There's always been a part of my business that has involved copyright infringement. And, there was a couple of cases a while ago that I can talk about because the other party specifically requested that there was not a non-disclosure clause in the settlement. And that other party was the federal government of Canada, specifically Global Affairs. And so I had some copyright infringements from, I believe the first one was the Canadian consulate in Hong Kong and Macau, that were using my famous or infamous Maple Leaf flag image without permission or compensation or any license. And so that was a settlement. And I've since discovered a lot more. And they're refusing to pay per infringement the same rate that they did before, even though a lot of them are done by separate entities that are not connected. They're different individuals and all of the infringements are technically independent. So on my horizon is I might have to sue the federal government of Canada. So okay. That's fun.
Said the guy about to be audited.
Yeah. I hate to do that kind of thing, but copyright infringement has always been one of those things that happens on a regular basis. And I actually encourage, especially if you're a photographer that has downtime right now, go and check out, see where your work might be being misused, because it likely is by somebody somewhere. And if it's done in a commercial fashion, hire a lawyer. I've got some lawyers that work on contingency, so they take a portion of the settlement, but nothing out of my own pocket, and that makes it worthwhile. And so I'm pursuing a little bit of those things right now.
Well, the only danger there is if you go check that out and find out no one's stealing your stuff.
Well, then that's just a marker of you got to be better.
internalize.
But I even have, and nobody can see this because it's we're not recording the video, but I have a book with my Maple Leaf flag on it that was published in Turkey. And I'm still trying to find a Turkish lawyer that's willing to take on that particular case. Mm. That stuff just eats me.
How's the
me
book?
Up inside. I don't know. It's in Turkish and it's about God.
I was like stuffing recipes, but that's
no,
me.
No. And so why damn would it. A book about Islam and God be using my photo on their cover? It makes absolutely no sense. So
well, you don't,
anyhow.
You don't speak Turkish. It might make total sense.
The second printing of it did not use that photograph anymore. So I don't know if it was relevant or if it was just a novelty.
I'm gonna ask some of the Turkish folks around here. There are a lot. It's a lot, big Turkish population in Germany. So I'll ask them why
get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll sort this out.
All right. Maybe one of them is a lawyer or knows one.
I bet you we could find a Turkish lawyer here.
All right. Well,
I don't think it has to be a Turkish lawyer. It has to be a lawyer who can practice in Turkey, is what you're telling me.
Yes, that's right. I'm doing some of that stuff because I always have a churn of that. Although, you know, in the past, I've had organizations like hotels and things like that that would infringe on my work. And restaurants and businesses that generally are doing really poorly right now. And so we're holding off on a lot of that. All my workshops are canceled for this year in person. And so that hits, you know, the wallet a little bit. Although I've had some opportunities to do some online, which is great. I'm doing a macro photography workshop over 4 weeks. We do week number 2 tomorrow through Princeton Photo Workshops. And so there's some fun that is just right here on my desk. Like I'm sitting here talking to you guys. This is my social interaction for the day outside of my wife and my daughter. And so I really appreciate when I can, be interactive with students on a virtual scale.
So why is the book delayed then? It sounds like if you have so much time at your desk.
Oh, I don't. Well, oftentimes it's time that is interrupted every 15 to 20 minutes.
I'm looking for the momentum answer because that is what I it's taken me a decade to get across to my wife, that anything creative, there's a certain momentum to it.
And well, when I'd be creating video content and things like that, you know, you have to have that space for you to build the entire narrative in your mind, storyboard it sort of behind your eyes, and then play through every possible thing for A roll and B roll and get everything all together without missing a beat. And that requires perfect concentration. Yes. And the same thing is true when I'm writing a book, where I have to take fairly complex ideas and distill them down into something that my grandmother can understand. It's not a simple process. And it requires, when my wife would go to work, and then I'd drive my daughter to daycare, and then I would have between 5 and 8 hours of just uninterrupted time. I could do whatever I want. I spend an hour answering emails and whatever, and then I just close down the inbox. I focus on the book, and I could do like 10 pages and I'd reread it and do some revisions on that while it's all still fresh in my head. At this point, I can do half a page.
Daddy.
Yeah.
Can I have an apple?
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Or she goes and picks a bunch of mulberries from the tree outside and says, "Are these ready to eat?" And I say, "Well, no, they're not. And now they're garbage because you picked them before they were ripe." So, and then I have to deal with a crying 4-year-old. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing is trying to keep, because whenever I'm doing something creative, whether it's, you know, on Photoshop or editing a video or whatever it is, I find, especially editing video, I'm keeping, you know, I have like 10 balls in the air and like what's coming down next. What was the pacing of this scene? How long did I take to get to here? How long will I take to get out? Where do those shots exist? Why did I shoot, you know, go from a wide to a close here? What I want to do next? And then the knock on the door. Hey, should I buy red peppers? Yeah. Yes, you should. I don't care. Buy them all.
Yeah. Every variety of pepper that is marginally red. If they're brown or orange, get those too. I mean, just why am I being bothered with this question?
Worst case scenario, get too many peppers. That's how it goes. So my wife did it. She has finally respected it. More so now that there was a stretch where she was working at home at the beginning of this. And so I purposely would come and ask her inane questions just to prove a point, which women love when you prove a point.
My wife is working from home too. So especially tomorrow is her biggest work from home day. And she's got back to back 3 groups of students. She's a registered nurse and she works with the college and she trains them. I have to deal with my daughter for between 3 and 5 hours straight. And it's fun, don't get me wrong, but that's the time when she used to be napping. And right. I'm still trying to convince her to nap, so much so that I'm even trying to wake her up early on Thursday mornings and put her to bed late on Wednesday nights.
Hey, who wants NyQuil?
So that she might be enticed to have a nap during that time where I can also be productive as well.
Right.
Family life in a pandemic is a totally new paradigm.
It is. It is. It's hard to watch that many episodes of Rockford Files when she keeps interrupting. And I find what the best thing to do is when she's upset or not napping is you just say, this is why you don't have a sister.
Yeah. Okay. That would be very cruel.
Daddy drinks because you cry. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not from Timmins. So.
All right. So when can people expect the book? If do you get a lot of questions? Do you have an idea?
Anybody that wants a copy of what amounts to half of the book that's press ready, aside from a typo or two that might be discovered, and they've already backed it on Kickstarter or they've pre-ordered it through my website, then I'll send them a PDF of those files with like the bleeds and the press markings and crop marks, et cetera, on it to say, hey, this is going to press. And more than half of it's done. Well, not completely done. I'm reworking the flows of things because I don't have that headspace right now to do it all at once. But if somebody wants it, then ask me for like all the stuff on water droplets and ultraviolet and all the basics and fundamentals of focusing, etc.
Don't ask for it. You don't want to see behind the scenes until it's done.
Well,
how do I get a copy of the Turkish book?
It is called Allah Askina Don. It actually has my name on the cover.
They're
not referring to me.
So you did get credit.
Wait, my name? Oh, that's not my name.
They're not referring to me. Well. That's a word in Turkish that is not actually my name.
That's what they did. They Googled. That's how they got you.
you can look that up, Adam, and make sure you get the first edition of it, not the second.
Right.
If you want to have my illustrious photo on the cover.
Who's on the second edition?
I don't know. It was just something else random. In fact, I bought one when I was trying to obtain a copy. I bought one on Amazon that was displaying the first edition cover. And uh-huh. I got a second edition copy.
Oh, boo.
And I requested a return. And they said, just keep the book. We'll refund you. Enjoy it. Well, now I have three copies of this book. One of which has my photo on the cover. The other two are just randomness. And
but you kept them.
Of course, I kept them.
Oh, you have
you
to
don't throw away a book.
No,
who throws away books.
You, the Germans, kind of what that war was about.
Okay.
All right. The not the Germans now. I meant like in the 30s. Was that?
Yeah.
Not
the late 30s.
Clear.
It's not clear.
All right. No, what you got to do is when this is all over, this whole pandemic thing, and you go to a wedding, you wrap that up. You and someone who doesn't know you, that's the wedding gift.
I'm not gonna do that, Alan. But okay. I can laugh at the
good
concept.
Idea. It's a good idea.
Yeah, you have to do it. But the only problem is people might know that it's from you. Maybe because it's always fun to watch the bride and groom at the gift opening pretend to like something that is just garbage.
Yep.
I don't want to frown on that. Maybe it's a good book. I don't know, but they can't read it. So,
well, it sold for just under 7 Turkish lira. And I don't know what a Turkish lira is worth today, but it's mm-hmm. probably not a lot. So I'm going to look that up in just a second here to see exactly what this book is. And I know how much it costs to print a book. So if I look this up.
$4.99 Canadian.
$11.
It's much, much less. Turkish lira, 6.95 Turkish lira to the wonderful Canadian dollar. It equals, drum roll please, as my browser refreshes, and it's not showing me anything. There it is. $1.36 Canadian.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So enjoy that lawsuit is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, exactly.
Deep pockets.
Get rich.
Deep pockets, but short arms. So you're out of luck. Okay. So the book's coming soon. Don't get the PDF. Don't see how, if it was a print, an actual print, that that you must have one of those. You should auction off one of those pre-production prints if you have one. And then I'd say wait till it comes. Be patient. Everyone can be patient during this time. It's coming. Dawn,
yeah, you know,
when has Dawn ever let you down?
Well, thank you for that. So the Kickstarter campaign was a huge success, and it's helped us immensely. But you know, I've got all the funds just waiting to go to the press, and then to ship out worldwide. You know, I think that there is about 80, or maybe it's 78. I'll have to double check, but almost 80 countries around the world that are getting copies of the book. So I'm thrilled with them.
Can you give us a ballpark date?
I was aiming for late summer. That may or may not happen now that we've established that my daughter is not going back to daycare because, gotcha. It's impossible to take a group of 10, 2 to 4 year old children that haven't seen each other for months and make sure that in the same room, they socially isolate 100% of the time.
Right. Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
And where can people go to find, that book?
So I'm piggybacking that off of my the website for my first book called Sky Crystals. And so that's skycrystals.ca. You can find a link to that on my website, also doncom.ca, doncom.ca.
And of course, we'll put a link to that in the show notes on our site as well. Reminder, monthly challenge for July is summer. Except in Australia, where it's Funnel Web Spider. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. And be sure to tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram. And Adam will make you want to quit photography. Mm-hmm. Challenge next week, Adam. I have one teed up, but I thought maybe you want to suggest one for next week. Something that's going to go into your wheelhouse. Messy bed, no. Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that. No, give me what you got. I haven't put a lot of thought into it.
Okay. I wrote, this is weird. I actually wrote down apostrophe. So. Go figure. No, I did perspective.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, let's just do that. We can shoot coffee on the morning of as well. Dawn, thanks very much for coming. Websites, they already gave you your website.
Website. I just gave it up.
Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And mine you can find at AlanAtridge.com if you want to find out some content from 2011. Or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. Dawn, thanks a lot for taking the time.
Thanks, Dawn.
Oh, really? Thank my wife for making sure I had this time.
Thanks, wife.
That's going to be awkward. I'll send her a fruit basket. Mulberries? She likes mulberries?
She does.
Okay. All right.
How much Turkish lira would that cost? Yeah.
Oh, Adam, the fadeaway jumper to win the game. Nice job. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.